see this number this morning, have you present to worship the Lord together. If you have your Bible this morning, if you'll turn with me to the book of James in the second chapter, that's where we'll begin our study in just a moment, James chapter 2. In a few moments, we'll be standing and singing the song that's been suggested by Brother Daniel. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and upon your confession be immersed for the remission of sins. Or if you need to be restored to Christ, we pray that you would come while we stand and sing this morning. In the book of James, in the second chapter, I want to read with you one verse, get the line of thought for our study. In verse 26, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." When you read the words of James, you'll find that James is talking about what occurs at death. And James makes a statement that stands out. He said that when the spirit departs the body, that you have death. And what I'd like to do for just a few moments of our time is talk about what happens when the spirit departs the body. Just what is involved in such. And I'm going to make 3 points this morning, and I recognize that we could talk a lot and spend a lot of time on each point and never exhaust the great lessons contained therein. But for just a few moments of our time, I want us to consider what death is. And we're not going to be just talking about physical death, though that'll be our first point, but we want to talk about the spirit departing. If you take your Bible in the book of James and notice that James is speaking in regard to faith without works, he uses an example that grabs our attention. He uses an example that grabs our attention because it deals with death. The Bible has a lot to say about death, and here James tells us that there is life beyond the grave. When you think about, in the book of James and the second chapter, the statement made by James, he said that when the spirit departs the body. Now, I want you to look at that word spirit carefully. That term can be used interchangeably with soul, and it really depends upon the context. Sometimes when the Bible talks about the soul or spirit, it may mean the breath of man, the life force of man, it perhaps the essence or even the anapalpal part of man, that which an animal has to keep it alive. So depending on the context, soul or spirit could mean that part that is the breath or life. Then, depending on the context, it talks about the eternal part of man, the inner part of man, the spiritual side of man, who we truly are. And so we need to make sure that when we read the context, we keep in mind which one is being referred to. And here James says, without the spirit, that the body is dead. Now that's true of the life force or the breath. When an animal loses its spirit, it dies, it turns back to dust. But also for man, when man dies, not only does he lose the breath, man loses the eternal part. It goes back to God. Notice, if you will, what the Bible says about the body. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when you come to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, notice with me, if you will, a statement made by the Apostle Paul. Paul, a tent maker, recognizes that the body is a temporary dwelling like a tent. He says in verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Paul said the physical body is a tent. It's not made for permanent dwelling. So when death occurs, when the tent no longer functions, when the body ceases to function, the soul or spirit departs. And Solomon had something to say about that. If you take your Bible in the Ecclesiastes, remember what Solomon had to say in regard to the soul of man. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in verse 7, he says, "Then the dust," that's the body, "will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." I want you to see that when the body stops, when the body ceases or goes limp, turns cold, that when death occurs, the spirit goes back to God. Now, man has a tough time knowing exactly when death occurs. We can only tell when breath stops or when the heart stops beating. But that soul, when it goes back to God, there is a separation of soul and body, of spirit and body. And at that point in time, nothing else will matter about your life here. Your money won't matter. Your wealth won't matter. Your recreation won't matter. Your work won't matter. What will matter at that time is where you stand with God. Because once the spirit departs the body, there will be no more second chances. Then we can turn to the book of Luke and the 16th chapter to save some time and notice that God places the spirit or soul where He desires. And I want us to understand that's God's business. Whether it is as for Lazarus, a place of paradise, or if it is as for the rich man, a place of torment. That was a continuation of based upon how those individuals lived their life. Now then, we need to remember that there will be a second coming. We read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that Christ will descend. When Christ descends, He's going to bring with Him those souls, and there'll be men in the air. And what's going to happen here? The dead will be raised. A new body. Take your Bible for just a moment and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And when you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice, if you will, most kindly, what Paul said in verse 35. Someone will say, "How are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not, sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as He pleases, and to each seed its own body." Paul said that's God's business. God will give it a body. Now notice, on the day of judgment, you'll be given a new body, and the soul that has been placed will be reunited with this new body, and you'll be back in the image of God. I want us to understand in John 5, all will be resurrected. The righteous to be with God, and they'll be given the body, soul, and spirit. And to those who go to eternal damnation, the same thing, except they'll be separated from God. So we learn that death is a separation. Body and spirit are separated. Now then, that brings up an important thought. They will be that way until the judgment day. And notice it says day, not days. There's one judgment day. That's what is taught in Acts 17 and verse 31. So when you think about death, you think about that spirit departing the body. I've never seen a spirit depart the body, but I've been with people when they die. And I've thought about in my mind that spirit going back to God and God placing that spirit. In Luke 16, when the rich man died, it just said he lifted his eyes in torment. But it said that when Lazarus died, angels carried his spirit back to the presence of God. But that brings up a second thought in our study. Have you ever thought that a local church can die? And have you ever thought that a Christian and an individual without the Holy Spirit is dead? I want you to think about when the Holy Spirit departs from the spiritual church, the body. Open your Bible and notice what the church is in the Ephesian letter and the fourth chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the fourth chapter, you'll find that the church is called a body. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 5, he says, there is one what? Body. I want you to underscore that, body. I want us to understand in Ephesians 4, 4, there's one body. Now, what is that body? In Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. The Holy Spirit is to guide the local spiritual body. Open your Bible to the Roman letter and the 8th chapter. In the Roman letter and the 8th chapter, notice the statement made by the Apostle Paul in verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom you cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Notice that the local church needs to have the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of question about that, and we're going to get into that. But what I want you to recognize is that if a local church is not guided by the Holy Spirit, if the local church is not being led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has departed the local church, that local church is dead. You know how I know that? I have a picture of it. Open your Bible to the Revelation letter for just a moment and the 3rd chapter. And when you come to the Revelation letter and the 3rd chapter, you remember what John said about Sardis as he quotes the Christ. He says, you have a name that you are alive in verse 1, but you are dead. Why were they dead? They were no longer following the teachings of the Holy Spirit. They had begun to do those things that they did not need to do, and they were not doing the things that they needed to be doing. And he said, you need to repent. You need to remember. You need to go back and do what God told you to do. So I want to get in our mind this morning that a local church can grieve the Holy Spirit, that a local church can leave the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we do that? By not following what the Holy Spirit has left us. Now, do not misunderstand me. The Holy Spirit is not the Bible. But the Holy Spirit uses the Bible to reveal God's will to man. So how I know God's will is to go to the Bible. And that is how the Holy Spirit leads us this morning. I can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that He has revealed unto us the deep things of God. I could read in Ephesians chapter 4 not to grieve the Spirit, but what I need to be is led by the Spirit. I take God's Word and I follow it. But when a church stops following God's Word, and a church is no longer led by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has been removed from the local church, many times that happens and people don't even realize it. And when we do not proclaim what the Spirit has revealed, we are guilty of removing the Spirit. Do you recognize that you can have a dead church that looks alive? I'll tell you that there are a lot of places that look alive, and yet, my friends, spiritually they're dead. I've often thought about they're separated from God. I want you to recognize, my friend, there's a great difference in being whitewashed and being washed white. Open your Bible to the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter. In the book of Matthew in the 23rd chapter, look at what Jesus said in verse 27. He says, woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inwardly are full of dead men's bones and all unrighteousness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Do you recognize that a local church can become that which no longer serves God the way God is told? And they become whitewashed. They look good to everybody passing by. They look like that tomb that's been whitewashed. But they've not been washed white in the blood of Christ, as is taught in Revelation 1:5. It's all about appearance. It's all about emotion. It's all about getting somebody to feel something at that particular moment so when they leave, they can feel like they've had a spiritual experience. But they've not followed the Holy Spirit at all. They've not listened to God's Word at all. They've done their own thing in their own way and have ignored the Holy Spirit. I've often thought about, my friend, you can have a dead spiritual body and yet it looked beautiful. You know, some morticians can make a dead body look better than that person did when they were alive. And some experts can do that with religious groups. They can make a religious group look like they're very spiritual, but inside they're filled with dead men bones. I'll tell you what's happening across the brotherhood. I've seen some of my brethren who I love and who I've talked to and who I've begged to come back to the pattern, leave the pattern of God's Word, leave the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And they're coming across and they're making advertisements saying, come here and enjoy this with us and enjoy that with us. And all their appeal is carnal. All their appeal is to bring people in and say, we're a community, that we're doing these things, but they don't have respect for the Spirit. And I'll tell you, my friend, if the Spirit has departed, then spiritually you're dead. A local church can be dead spiritually. Some places have everything under the living sun except spiritual life. The Spirit has departed and fellowship with God has been broken. I don't care if they have 15,000 members. If the Spirit of God is not leading through the Word, then death has occurred. One of the biggest jokes I think sometimes is when I turn on the television and I see some of the televangelists. They talk about their 23,000 member church and you look at them and they never open their Bible. They'll just tell you a story and they'll tell you what God wants you to be happy here and that God wants you to have financial success here and that God just wants you to have everything right here, right now. They never talk about judgment. They never talk about sin. They never talk about ungodliness. They never talk about things that God despises. All they talk about is being happy now. What they're getting is pop psychology. They're not getting led by the Spirit of God. And you know, my friend, the Spirit of God could leave the church at Eastside. If ever there is a man, whether it be me or anyone else, who stands in this pulpit and doesn't bring out book, chapter, and verse and doesn't teach God's Word, I'll tell you what you have. You have nothing but a building full of dead men's bones. That brings up something else. Have you ever thought that the Spirit could leave the life of a Christian? Do you recognize as Christians we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Open your Bible to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter. And when you come to the Ephesian letter and the 5th chapter, notice what Paul had to say about being filled with the Spirit of God. In Ephesians 5:18, he said, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, and all that means is wasteful, but be filled with the Spirit. That's a command. Filled with the Spirit. That means we're under the control of the Spirit. He said, if you want something to control your life, you don't need to be inebriated with alcohol. What you need to do is be under the Spirit's control. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Well, how does the Holy Spirit guide me? Through the Word. But what will that produce? Look at what he says in Galatians chapter 5. If I am filled with the Spirit, I'll be able to tell because of the fruit that I produce. In Galatians chapter 5, look, if you will, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit, that's the offspring of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. That's how one is filled with the Holy Spirit. However, my friend, if I do not have the fruit of the Spirit and I'm not filled with the Spirit, you know what that means? That means that I've grieved the Holy Spirit. That means, as Paul said in Ephesians chapter, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19, I've quenched the Holy Spirit. That means, as Stephen said in Acts 7:51, I've rejected the Holy Spirit. And you know what that means as a Christian? I'm dead. I'm not living as Christ would have me to live. An alien sinner is alive physically, but spiritually he's separated from God. That's spiritual death. And if he dies in that condition, if the spirit departs the body while he is spiritually separated from God, he'll be lost forever. Open your Bible back to Ephesians chapter 2. And when you come to Ephesians chapter 2, look at what he says in verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You had missed the mark. You had sinned. You had fallen. You have transgressed God's law. You walked according to the course of the world. You followed the prince of the power of the air. You are a spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. You had the wrong spirit. Then what does he say? That would be sad, but look at what he says in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I want to raise a question. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit today? If you're not, I'll tell you, I feel sorry for you. Because the Bible commands you to be filled with it. Now, sometimes we get fearful of that because we think of what some false teachers teach about gibberish and talking in tongues or whatever it may be. But to be filled with the Spirit means I'm under His control. He guides me. He leads me. And I follow His will. And you know what, my friend? If one's alive, they're going to produce fruit. And you know what the Scripture says? Open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the Scripture teaches us that one is made alive by the Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but watch it, the Spirit gives life. Look in your Bible in the book of John in the 6th chapter. In the book of John in the 6th chapter, look at what Jesus says in verse 63. In John 6 and verse 63, Jesus, as he's teaching on this occasion, makes this statement. It is the Spirit who gives life. So what about us today? Are you spiritually dead though you were alive physically? You know what that means? That though you're alive in the flesh and you have body, soul, and spirit, in the eyes of God, you're dead. You're lost. Luke 15, my son which was dead is alive again. My son which is lost is found. You're separated from God. And if your body dies while you're in that condition, you will be in a lost condition for eternity. Secondly, is this local church alive or dead? Are we following the Holy Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit guiding the work here at Eastside? And thirdly, when physical death comes, where will you spend eternity? Eternal death is hell, separated from God. Eternal life is with God for all eternity. There's going to come a time, each of us, that the Spirit will depart the body. Sometimes it comes when people are young. Sometimes it comes when they're aged. But when you think how frail this body is, and you remember that the body is dust, you remember that inside this dusty tent, God has given us something that's eternal. And it's going to stand before God in the day of judgment. The question is, Have we been living in the Spirit? Have we been led by the Spirit? And are we producing fruit of the Spirit? If not, then I'll tell you what, my friend. That's a good indication you're dead. If you're not growing in knowledge and truth, as Peter says in the conclusion of his epistle, I'll tell you what that shows. You're dead. That means that spiritually you're separated from God. And I can't think of a more frightful thing than to be spiritually dead. As much as physical death scares us, spiritual death ought to scare us even more. Because spiritual death means eternity away from God. If you need to make your life